Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, simply go to aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Remember, your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air.
On today's broadcast, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Today, our guest is a special friend to all of us here at the AACC. He's former Major League Baseball player Jim Anderson, a veteran of the diamond, been around the game his whole life, a wise man after God's own heart, a family man, married to our own Dr. Sean A. Anderson. His motto, trust in God with all of your heart. Not just some of it, not just sometimes, but 100%. I love that. So let's dive in right now with Jim Anderson. Jim, thank you so much for joining me today, sir.
Zach, it's always my pleasure. Always great to get together with you.
Something I'll say publicly up front about you is that you are truly one of the kindest, I would say most consistent and joyous people I have met. I feel like you are always the same person every time I get the opportunity of seeing and spending time with you. For that, I'm grateful. I noticed that. It's really admirable about you, sir. As we dive in, to get our listeners up to speed as to a little bit more about who you are, your story, you had the opportunity of playing several years of professional baseball. You played for three teams primarily, the California Angels, the Seattle Mariners, and then also the Texas Rangers. Up front, Mr. Jim, I got to ask you, Texas Rangers, World Series champions, what was that like for you being a former Ranger to see your former club do that?
It was great. I watched every game. I was up late at night, given we're 3 hours ahead of most of the games. It was a little bit difficult. It was for late nights, but I couldn't miss it. Just the key events in major sports, I sit down and I'll watch. And yeah. I have a wife that's so gracious to allow me to do that.
I love that. It was a fun series, right? The Diamondbacks, a young ball club, they'll be good for years to come. But the Rangers, I tell you what, they were incredible with some of their missing key pieces out of the picture. But it was fun to watch them play. I'm sure that was exciting for you, like I said, being a former club member there and then just seeing them do it. Now, I want us to hit the rewind button for a second because something I love doing is kind of understanding the backwater to people's stories, what got them to the heights that they soared to and even sustained and where you're at today. So, sir, for you, baseball. Baseball was one of your greatest loves, probably one of your first loves in a sense. I'm interested if we could go back. When was it that baseball became actually an opportunity for you to pursue?
Zach, I appreciate that. Yeah. And before I do that, let me just say about the series. I also have a relationship with Torrey Lovello, the manager for the Diamondbacks. I represented him in the sale of and purchase of some homes out in California when I was out there.
That's awesome.
So the backstory is really kind of funny because it was brought to my attention by a teacher herself. Hmm. And she years later, my elementary school teacher, my second grade teacher said, Jim, I always remember what you told me. And I told her that I was going to play Major League Baseball. Hmm. And so from then on, I just focused on just playing all sports. That was kind of the cross training that we had back when I grew up. It wasn't travel ball per se that you just dedicated yourself to one sport. We played every sport in its season. So I think that rounded my athletic ability to be able to handle, especially the shortstop position. But then kind of a key note in my life, we were out always on the playground, during nutrition and lunch, always playing a sport. And I hear my name being called over a loudspeaker by one of the gym teachers, Anderson, get your fanny in here. He said a different word, but but he called me into his office and he said, listen, if you don't make professional baseball, I'm going to kick your behind. And he had played minor league baseball and was a very athletic. And so from that point on, I said, can I? And so that little thought gets implanted in your head where somebody sees something in you, and it's a spark. From then on, went to high school. We had a fantastic high school coach that was really ahead of his time. He was had relations with a very popular scout and very well-renowned scout, Kenny Myers, for the Dodgers and Angels. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got out of high school, I knew all the bunt plays, pickoff plays, relays, everything. We did major league plays and participated in all that activity in the high school level. So I just knew that I just needed to get out and play.
That's right. And obviously, as you continue to enhance and increase your skill set and your talent in your professional baseball career, or I would say in your aspiring, budding professional baseball career, there were some things that God obviously teaches us in our moments. I believe this, that talent is one of the cheapest things that we'll ever possess. There's that old quote, right, that hard work will beat talent if talent doesn't work hard. And so for you, I'm interested, beyond the talent that you had, what were some of the intangibles that, if there's some young athletes, some young baseball players out here that are listening, what are some things that you would tell them? Prioritize these things, work on these things, because these things will take you so much farther than talent ever could.
Yeah, it's just pay the price. Mm. If I could put it in three words, pay the price. Meaning, while all my friends were out partying, while they are out going to the beach during the summer, I'm playing ball. I'm in the cages or I'm taking ground balls. So I vowed to myself that if I was going to have any opportunity to be able to play collegiately or professionally, that nobody was going to outwork me. And that was my mindset, is nobody's going to swing the bat more. Nobody's going to take more ground balls. Nobody's going to throw and work on their arm strength and all the intangibles that go with playing the sport to the highest level.
Hmm. I love that. Pay the price, right? Anything worth value in this life is going to come at a cost. For me, obviously, you were more talented in the game than I was. You went on and played professionally. I played collegiate baseball. I was a pitcher, so a lot of our listeners understand that. But something about me was I was never the most talented. And I'll be the first to tell you. I would be the first to tell you then that I wasn't the most talented. But I was going to outwork anybody that was put in front of me because I knew that that's all I had, right? If I could outwork you, then, man, I had the belief then that I could outcompete you. So I love that. Pay the price. For you, Jim, though, you go on to get drafted 25th overall in the 1975 Major League Baseball draft by the California Angels. 25th overall. That's crazy. When I saw that, when I was looking it up, I was like, come on, Jim. I would never have guessed because of your humility. But I got to ask, what was that moment like for you when it was almost like a culmination of all of your dreams were coming true?
Well, we had a lot of activity around our high school team. We actually, and this is very rare, we actually had four players drafted off our high school team.
Serious?
In the first 16 rounds. And so that was pretty incredible. We had scouts at our game all the time.
Wow.
So it started seeming like a reality could come to pass. I got some calls from teams, you know, asking, was I firmly set on going to college? Because I had a full ride that I signed a letter of intent to University of Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was drafted first pick in the second round because at that time there was only 24 teams in baseball.
Crazy.
I remember it like it was yesterday. My high school coach came and got me in class and said, you've been drafted in the second round by the Angels. And soon thereafter, I got a call from the scout who signed me, Al Kubski. And so they started the negotiations right away. And it became a reality. The decision I made to go directly into professional baseball was simply based on I had played a lot of games. And so we had played on what, in effect, was a travel ball squad. We play two or three times a week all summer long. So I had many games under my belt. I just knew I needed to get out and play. And my philosophy was this. I told myself that by the time you could sign professionally out of a university, you had to be 21. Well, if I progressed on my schedule, I thought that I wanted to reach the big leagues at 21. So I did, in fact. I got called up when I was 21 years old. So I signed at 75 and came up in the middle of 78.
Wow. It's amazing to hear how your career, like I said, it just blossomed. And you got the opportunity to play again professionally for several years for those three ball clubs. Now, what I would ask you, because, you know, I think it's also important to understand that we've shared this several times, even on the golf course, that you're no stranger to pain, to adversity, to waiting seasons, wilderness seasons in life, right? Uncertainties. For you personally, Jim, in the midst of those times, though, every time we've had the opportunity to talk, and it's almost like those times have propelled you to bigger and greater things. I always say that pain can be your prison, holding you back in bondage, or it could be your passport, take you places you couldn't have gone without it. So for you, what are some of the lessons that you've learned in some of your waiting seasons, some of your most challenging and difficult times, even in professional baseball, that have afforded you then the opportunities to see things from a different perspective and allow God to do something special in your life?
Well, I accepted Christ at a young age. My dad's dad was a Lutheran minister. We grew up in the Lutheran church. I believe I accepted Christ as a in a confirmation class, 12, 13 years old. Mm. But like many Christians, you know, we kind of ebb and flow. We have high points where we're on fire for the Lord and yep. and in the valleys. And so what finally stuck with me mm. is I went to winter ball and realized that this is not about me,
yeah.
but it is about that I'm secure. Mm. And verse that comes to mind is John 10, 27 through 30. And this is important because mm. people doubt. And so I just knew I was secure in my faith, so I was secure in whatever I did. But I knew I couldn't do it in my own strength.
Right.
I often tried, and I often skinned my knees. And yeah. like I am prone to say, we're just like Adam, that we're just dirt clods with air breathed in. And so there came a time in my career where I just knew I had to turn it over to the Lord because it wasn't going according to my plans, and I had setbacks. Being a starting shortstop with the Angels, going to a last place team, and all of a sudden getting platooned. That's some humility you have to deal with and have to get fixated on and deal with it every time you take the field.
That's right. Sports are highly relational. And like you said, when you feel like somebody has confidence in you, like they believe in you, that can almost counteract the fear of failure because it's like, you know what, I can go out here and play to the best of my ability. I can play free and knowing that, again, it doesn't define me. That's where I want to make the transition here because a lot of athletes, Jim, can find their identity attached to their performance or attached to a game, a sport that they play. However, I think it's our job as, you know, people that have played the game and also people that want to invest in the lives of a lot of young athletes growing up in is just helping them understand that their worth, their value, and their identity is completely detached from their performance, but yet it can be found and rooted and anchored in Christ and in Christ alone. Jim, what's a word of advice that you'd give just a young buck out there who's really maybe struggling with this whole identity aspect?
Well, it goes back to what you said earlier. My life passage is I've tried to live by it, but I, like Paul, am a sinner foremost of all. And it's Philippians 2, 3, and 4. It says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let us regard others as more important than ourselves. Mm. And so, and then 4 goes on in the same vein, look out for others. Mm. And it gets your focus, and we have such a prideful society right now. You have books like Think and Grow Rich,
yep.
and you have people, you know, look out for number one. Mm. But it's the more you give away, things come to you that are supposed to come to you. Not everything you want, not everything you desire, but what you need, and that's what the Lord provides. And that's where I can anchor in that. And after years of trying to do it my way and living more of a prodigal existence, I wasn't terrible. I wasn't, you know, a bad person doing things that are just heinous. Mm-hmm. But I finally came to the realization that I've got to walk with him. And yeah. that was at the end of 94 was a turning point where I just committed my life back to the Lord and then brought me a beautiful wife out of that.
Mm. It's funny because as we talked about the last time we were playing golf at the Boonesboro Country Club, right, I asked you, Jim, what's the one message that God has placed on your heart that you really want to share in and throughout our time together in this interview? And you said, I want to remind people, right, to be able to point them back to their first love or what should be our first love, what is meant to be our first love. As you mentioned, there's so many things in this life that can distract us, that can draw us away from the heart of God. I think of, you know, just busyness. I think of work. I think of, you know, success, fame, fortune, whatever it is, right? Different things that draw us away from God. But yet, living a life of significance is that is drawing us closer to God and pushing us in that direction. Jim, for you, what have you learned about the importance and how do you prioritize making sure that you are drawing yourself closer to God rather than being pulled away?
Well, you have to be actively in His Word, and I commit to prayer daily. Mm. Again, we all can do more. And that's where I came up with that thought that we had on the golf course
yeah.
is it's time to take action. And taking action, it doesn't mean you doing, it's you being able to be used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so being available, but you have to be anchored in something. Mm. And anchoring in the Word is your foundation. Christ is the rock. And so I want to moor myself to that rock. And so knowing that I'm in His Word daily, He's going to send me where I need to go that day. And then I just allow it to transpire. Sorry, my mind was racing at the time, but
no, I love that because, like you're saying, love is an action, right? Love is a verb. Sometimes the greatest form of love that we can display to Christ is that of obedience, right? I think of his word that says, faith without works is dead. So making sure, yes, spending time in his presence, but also acting out of obedience. Like you said, getting the work done, putting boots to the ground and actually doing something for Christ's behalf and being able to advance and build up his kingdom. Jim, I know, as I said, something about you is that you are a man who I said is an ambassador of what it looks like to possess the joy of the Lord. It's impossible to be around you and not catch some of the fruits of his spirit, because I feel like when you are investing in that relationship with God, you become contagious with all of the right things. For you, sir, I'm interested, even in some of the midst of the valleys or the mountaintops in this life, I mentioned you're a consistent guy. What are some things that you have clung to? What are some of his promises, and what are some things that God has revealed to you about the character of his heart?
Well, that was another one of the verses that came to me when we talked about John 10:27.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's called secure. Secure in what? Well, secure in God's promise. What's God's promise? If you confess, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, mm-hmm. you shall be saved. And it comes down to this. And no matter what people do, no matter what I did in my life, I knew that I was secure once I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and by his shed blood on that cross, taking my penalty on my behalf. And so the security is, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you know what that means? That means we ourselves, if we've truly accepted Christ, we can't snatch ourselves out of his hand either. And so that security gives comfort, and that comfort gives boldness. And that boldness, you just want to live for Christ. And because in most instances, your life and how people look at you may be the only Bible they read. And what are they going to read?
That's right. That's so true. That's one of my favorite quotes too, right? That there are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Jim, right? And most people may never read the first four.
That's right.
But they see you by your actions, and if your actions actually back the words that you share and the faith that you say that you possess. Jim, you are a man who, like I said, I feel like your actions do back those things. And I'm grateful for the relationship that God has placed in my life to be able to spend time with you, to get to know you, to glean again from your wealth of wisdom, of knowledge, of experience that you've accumulated throughout the years, not just in baseball and athletics, but also in all of the different things that you've done with fundraising, with ministry. I mean, you are a man of multiple talents. We didn't even get into some of those other ones, but I'm grateful for all that you're doing. I always love leaving the guests with an opportunity to share a pressing word that God has placed on their heart for such a time as this. So the person today who maybe I really want you to speak into, maybe they're a person that feels discouraged in this moment, Jim, or they're disappointed, or they feel like they're stuck in a waiting season. They've been remaining patient and patient and patient, but it's like, do I feel overlooked or what's going on here? Jim, what's the message of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you want to leave that person with today to hopefully live, love, and lead a different life moving forward?
The word that just popped out to me is trust. And we can trust what God says he is going to do. And so trust means sometimes waiting.
That's
and
right.
We can hear yes, we can hear no, and there's wait. And waiting, I think, is the times that cause the most anxiety.
Yeah.
And so that's why it comes back to just trust. Trust in what God said he is going to do and will do in his time.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Jim Anderson, hey, my friend, thank you so much, just again, for all that you're doing, the encouragement that you've invested in my life and our listeners and viewers' lives today. Where can people even find out more, just maybe even about you, about Dr. Shawnee, about what you guys are doing? You guys are a power couple. Where can they find out more about you guys?
Well, I do have a Wikipedia page, and it actually showed that I hit over 300 against some Hall of Fame pitchers. I don't know. I just find me. I'm not very much on social media.
Yeah.
We try to monitor that. I have a little Peter in me sometimes, and I get a little snappy sometimes. And
I hear you.
I don't use foul language, but I can bark.
That's right.
Every once in a while, but they could find me in Lynchburg, and I'm going to be trying to help out with some local teams here if the opportunity and time allows that. They can find us at church. We attend church here in town.
You may find Jim Anderson there. If you see, you know, a golf ball in the middle of the fairway, that's Jim. If you see one coming at you, that means Jim invited me. So, Jim, thank you so much again just for joining us today, for your conversation, and for the love that you extend to us every day.
Zach, thank you so much. It was a pleasure, and I hope that people can really find the time to trust. And like you said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just part of it, just all your heart, and He'll make your path straight.
Amen. Love and appreciate you, sir.
Love you too. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, for your Mental Health Minute. Do you remember the day maybe the light went out inside? The moment that everything changed? When someone broke your spirit, shut you down? I hear it all the time. I hate him for what he did. I hate her for what she said. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to let that go. To build a bridge over it. Let the healing begin. Because holding it inside, harboring unforgiveness, it's like drinking your own poison. It doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. Hear me. Let it go. Forgiveness only takes one person. And no, that doesn't erase what they did. Reconciliation, that's a whole different story. But for now, let it go. Let life come back into your heart. Give forgiveness a try. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.